This is Steve Goodrich, known on the trail as Bird Shooter, and this is N2 Backpacking, a podcast for both hikers and backpackers.
Hey backpackers, this is Bird Shooter, and tonight we celebrate the 10th anniversary of the show by speaking with Glenn and Susan, who were in the inaugural N2 Backpacking podcast, recorded just over 10 years ago in episode 1. As an anniversary gift to you, I do plan to open up the entire podcast series this year, and have been remixing the first 12 episodes with plans to release them all over the next few months, including episode 1, which you can currently hear at N2Backpacking.com. But in the show tonight, I catch up with Glenn and Susan to find out what they've been up to since we last spoke in April 2011, which includes raising 3 kids, visiting many of the national parks, and using a variety of tricks to keep their children engaged with the wilderness. We also discuss our first backpacking trip together, their plans for the coming summer, and Susan's spreadsheet that tracks all their future adventures. Here's episode 87. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Bird Shooter, and I'd like to welcome Glenn and Susan to the show this evening. On the trail, they're known as Helmet and Doe Girl, and they participated in the inaugural N2 Backpacking podcast recorded on April 26, 2011. In that show, they told us all about their experiences through hiking the John Muir Trail, and they are back to mark the 10th anniversary of the podcast. Glenn and Susan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, thanks. Good to be here.
I can't believe 10 years just flew by, because I don't know how it felt for the two of you.
Well, yeah. Well, for the last 10 years, we've mostly just been raising our kids. We have an 11-year-old daughter now and twin 9-year-old boys.
Wow. That's a statement right there. Did you guys go back and listen to the first podcast, by the way? I mean, you probably hadn't heard it for 10 years. I'm just curious if you have any comments when you went back and listened to it.
And actually, we have, and that's a good thought. We probably should have. Oh. It'd probably be an eye opener. So.
Wow, you were the inaugural. Okay,
I hate to hear myself on recorded. So
yeah, that's not uncommon though. A lot of people hate hearing themselves recorded. So I got you there. So you want to give the listeners? I mean, obviously, you've got twins. You've got an older daughter now. What else have you been doing in the last 10 years? Just quick update.
Really? I don't know if that's probably been it, Steve. I mean, let's say our daughter's 11 and we've got twin boys, and you throw the twins in there. One boy is probably manageable. Two boys, it's a handful. They're 9 years old. But, I don't know what else we've been doing. It's what everyone else does, living, working, and Susan gets out, plays her tennis still, so good for her, that's about it. And, we haven't been up to see you, and that's a shame. We need to do that at some point, so.
Yeah, Atlanta doesn't sound like a big city until you're 50 minutes away from somebody from one side to the other, so it is a big city. But, hey, so when we talked last time, it was all about the John Muir. You've been raising kids, so probably no other long-distance through hikes since then, I'm guessing, since 2011?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we did a couple other, around that time, long-distance hikes. Well, I don't know. Everyone's definition of long-distance is probably different. But for us, I mean, we did the Wonderland Trail around Mount Rainier.
That's legit.
Yep. And
before the kids.
Yeah, before the kids, And then right before our daughter was born, we did Isle Royal.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So that was probably our last big backpacking trip we did. And then things took a turn from there.
Yeah, a big turn. Hey, so Isle Royal, is that 40 miles? Is that correct? What is the distance?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Okay. 40 miles, and how long is that boat ride to get there? It's a choppy couple hours.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine when we were at Isle Royal. He got very seasick, so seasick coming back from Isle Royal that we had to get a hotel room that night. He was just took him out completely. So I can relate. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, too. I mean, Glenn, you and I talked in episode 16 about the Long Trail. We were at your one-room schoolhouse in Vermont. Awesome, by the way. Hey, can you give us an update on the schoolhouse? That place is amazing.
Well, it's still standing, and we get up there every year. It's built in 1858, and yeah, it used to be a one-room school, and it's a really interesting place. Backs up on a nice brook, Steve. I remember us sitting doing that podcast on the back deck, overlooking the brook there. But we get up there every year. I was just up there and for a week, and we're going up for a family for a few weeks, and it's good to get away from that Atlanta heat and some nice Vermont weather. So we always look forward. Wish it was a little closer, but it'd probably be a different vibe if it was. So.
Yeah. Are the Packies still across the street? My kids, which were, they were very young at the time, but they love the Packies. Are they still over there?
Yeah. The neighbors had a bunch of alpacas, and unfortunately the neighbors, I say neighbors in the, yes, they do live near us, but it's country, But so the one Winston, who used to take care of the alpacas, he was retired. He passed away, unfortunately, and then so the son and or daughter and son-in-law just couldn't really. They were busy working and other things, so they ended up selling the alpacas. So
bummer.
They are not there, but yeah, we used to be able to sit on the front porch and actually just see them, and they were quite entertaining for sure.
Yeah, my kids still talk about Sparky. He was one of the, I don't know if you remember him, but he was one of the big ones.
Yep.
Awesome. So, it's been 10 years. I mean, what you guys have obviously, I know Susan especially, she loves the outdoors. So what's the most interesting hiking or backpacking trip that you've done since we've last spoke?
Well, one of my favorite hikes we've done. So we've been trying to kind of knock out a bunch of the national parks with the kids. And we don't do any, or we haven't yet really done much backpacking with them, but we do, day hikes, and we camp in the campgrounds within the national parks. We try to do a big trip every year, but one that we did in the fall of 2019 was we went to Utah, and did a couple of big Utah parks. And so we day hiked the Narrows. Which was great. It was a little chilly. But that was, kind of a really unique hike, and I'd love to go back someday and backpack it, from the top down to the bottom. But that was a good hike.
Yeah. The Narrows are pretty legit. I mean, your children are, they're younger. They're certainly under the age of 18. How did they do in the Narrows?
The boys didn't do great, but I think mostly, well, it was pretty chilly because it was like mid to late September when we went.
Okay.
And it was much chillier at the trailhead to the Narrows than it was in the campground. So that was on me because I didn't really bundle them up quite enough. But, and then once we started hiking in the river, they were kind of excited at first, but then it was very cold, and the two boys, the water was getting up around their waist. And they didn't care for that at all. So Glenn turned around with them, and they went back and hung out at the campground and did some, I don't even know what y'all did. But then Anna and I hiked, pretty far up. I know we got to Wall Street, and, she was a trooper, man. She just kept going, and our legs were numb, but we kept going. And yeah, I mean, it was really an outstanding hike, and I would love to do it again.
Yeah, I mean, it's legendary, right? I mean, what's the total distance on the Narrows? Like 11 miles, or do I have that right?
That sounds right. Yeah, if you do the whole thing, one way, backpacking. And then I think Anna and I probably hiked, we probably went about 4 miles up there.
Yeah, you were gone a good part of the day. I was surprised. And Steve, we were on if not the first bus there, it must have been the second. Like, it was dark, and when we arrived at the Narrows, we were probably the first people out, and it was cold. And with the canyon and the Narrows, I mean, the sun doesn't hit you. You're hiking in the shade, so it was definitely chilly. And I made it only a little bit with the boys, and they were just not having it. They got soaked, and but thankfully Susan, was and our daughter were able to do a good bit of it. So.
Yeah, so sounds like a good night for a campfire at the campground, after you hike the Narrows. Now, what was that? So, would you say that was the most interesting hike you guys have done since we last spoke? Because you guys have done some cool stuff. I got to give you that.
Yeah, we've done a lot. You know, I'm just thinking, I mean, there are, that probably is up there. I mean, I did a hike, or we did a hike. I say one of my favorites, and it's more just kind of a day hike. At Columbia River. It's Onyanda Gorge, I think.
You talking Oregon?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was basically, I mean, there's a like this little canyon and this huge log jam in there. And so you hiked in. We were there early, and you know, the kids, we read about it. Susan read about it. Is it okay to take kids? Will they do all right? And some people were saying, no, don't do it. Other people said it's fine. And the kids had a blast trying to scramble. They were smaller, you know, but trying to scramble over this huge log jam, figuring out how to get over it. And then eventually you're hiking in and
in the river
up to this waterfall. And I remember I took each kid on my shoulders to kind of bring them up and get them closer. You know, kind of a day hike, but very memorable. I think that shut down, right, Susan? You read that.
Well, yeah, I think with all those fires they had out there, then I think there was, it kind of destabilized a lot with the terrible forest fires that were around the Columbia River Gorge a couple of summers ago.
Yeah, it seems like it's a reoccurring theme out west now. Whatever the case, memorable to your children, I'm sure they'll probably remember that when they're, you know, years from now. So that's awesome. I mean, is there a trip you guys have been on which was like challenging, can I put it that way? or maybe not as exciting for the kids, because you guys have obviously done a lot of traveling.
Yeah, I mean, the kids aren't super excited about like views most of the time.
Really?
You know, I like a good view. The kids don't care so much about views. They're much more sort of like what's right in front of them and what can they touch.
Yeah.
So, you know, they like, you know, if we pass like a little pond with tadpoles in it, then they're entertained for an hour, you know. But if we try to sit on a rock overlooking a valley, they're sort of like, you know, they want snacks and then they want to get going again, you know.
That's funny.
You know, it's a different focus.
Yeah, so I'm guessing your adventures have changed just slightly since we spoke 10 years ago, or even more so, probably 15 or 16 when I was spending a lot of time hiking with you. Actually, 20 years ago is when we were probably doing our peak activity together.
Yeah, I mean, once the kids were born, well, I mean, we took our daughter Anna out to Bryce Canyon, I think, and I remember her being 1 year old, and you know, we were able to take her. We hiked up Angel's Landing, I remember,
In Zion,
when we did that. And I remember one of us staying behind, taking the first bus out there. That was key. We had the place to ourselves. And then one of us, you know, kind of waited at the base of the big hike up there, and then came down, then the other one did it. But after that, once we had the twin boys, we really kind of had to step back to zero. Took a little time off, I guess, from trying to go anywhere.
I can understand.
Yeah, and then kind of work back up to just, you know, like car camping or sleeping in a tent and, you know, working up from there. And we're still working up to it. So.
Yeah, it's phases. You're right. You got to make adjustments, you know, depending on your situation. But I mean, back to Angel's Landing, though, that's legit. I mean, did that not, that didn't spook anybody in the family at all? Because you cannot be afraid of heights on that hike, right?
Well, I'm actually kind of afraid of heights, but I was okay doing it. I could not have done it if I'd had Anna in the little backpack thing. So, you know, we didn't take her all the way up to the top. But I was actually, like, doing it, I felt fine. Although, as I was coming back down, there was literally like a tour bus worth of people coming up. And then that made me a little bit nervous, you know, because you have to kind of get past people and there's not a lot of room to maneuver. That's definitely one that you need to be on the first bus, the first shuttle bus of the day. So, cause I can't imagine going up and then coming back down when it's crowded on that. That would freak me out.
Yeah. That would freak me out in general. How old was Anna at the time? Susan?
She was one.
1 year old. Oh my God. Wow.
So, you know, we could just strap her on us and I mean, we did lots of hikes on that trip because we did all of, you know, all the major Utah parks and then circled around and went to Lake Powell and then to the Grand Canyon. And again, we didn't backpack with her because that was just a bit much. But I mean, as far as hiking with her, you know, she was a champ because you just stuck her in the pack and carried her. But once we had the boys, then we didn't have enough ability to carry three children. So we had like a toddler and then the two babies. And yeah, that we attempted a few hikes and they didn't last very long. And, you know, somebody would be cold or,
yeah. I mean, there was,
it was a challenge.
How have things changed? I mean, we were in Bryce Canyon on that trip and it was, I don't know, it was freezing. It was cold. We had our daughter, 1 year old, bundled up in three layers of cold clothes. And it was, we basically said, we've got to get a hotel. She's not going to do well here. So we would have toughed it out, but no, we got a hotel, some nice functioning heat. And so it was okay.
Yeah. However you can do it. I give you guys a lot of credit because you kept doing it. So, I mean, kudos to you for that. You know, to get back to, I guess this was probably a good solid 20 years ago when we were hiking a lot together. Do you remember when we took our first backpacking trip? I looked it up and I could tell you if you don't remember.
I don't remember. I know it wasn't, but I'm going to say Mount Mitchell. And I'm going to say there was an incident with some dishes.
you still talk about that. You're right, by the way. That was the first trip that we did together, I mean, with both of the two of you. So you guys were both on that trip, but the Horse Pasture River, Glenn, you went without Susan on that one, and that was February 2001, which was Rainbow Falls, if you remember it. But if you want to get technical, the first trip that I did with both of you together was at Mount Mitchell, and that was almost exactly 20 years ago this month.
That was a good trip. I remember that clearly, though. So.
Yeah, that was a great trip. I haven't been there. You know, it's pretty far from Atlanta, right? So it's a commitment to get up there. I also remember, and I don't know if you guys use walkie-talkies. I think they're kind of a thing of the past now. But, man, they saved us that trip because we were trying to get two different groups together. Do you guys remember when we were trying to get everybody together at the end of that? And half the group went one way, half the group went the other?
Vaguely, yeah. I think I recall that. That's right.
Yeah,
but that's a beautiful area. But that was those are the two hikes that were the beginning, which I can't believe that was 20 years ago. Man, time flies. Hey, so on the same topic, you and your dogs were featured in Best Hikes with Dogs, Georgia, South Carolina, which we published in 2006. And I don't even know the answer to this. I'm so curious. Do you guys have a dog now?
We do.
Yeah, we have another miniature schnauzer.
Okay, awesome.
And she's done some hikes with us. She is not quite as friendly to other dogs as Bismarck was. You know, Glenn's dog Bismarck, also a miniature schnauzer. She was a great hiking and camping dog. She just was very chill, would just do, you know, go along with whatever, but Willoughby is a little feistier, and so she hasn't had quite as many experiences.
And we get out a little bit less, you know, on those types of trips, so that's a change too. And of course, back in the day, Susan had her husky Indy. It was a trip to hike with, was a lot of fun, but just down to one dog, and when we can and we can drive there, we do take her along, but you know, longer trips obviously will just have her stay with somebody.
Yeah, in those early years, you guys had dogs on every trip. I don't think I can think of a trip that we went on together and you didn't have them. And, and again, they were both featured in the Best Hikes with Dogs Georgia South Carolina series. But are you guys, I mean, you kind of alluded to this before. Are you doing a lot more car camping these days?
Yeah, that's primarily what we do. Although, you know, with our national park trips that we do, you know, most of the good stuff is not within driving distance or reasonable driving distance of Atlanta. So we fly. And so I kind of have developed this whole system of packing our stuff and, you know, taking it on planes and then, you know, getting a rental minivan at the destination and, you know, driving around and camping in the national park campgrounds with that. But I think that like backpacking sort of prepared us for that because, you know, we have sort of the smaller more packable gear that we've been able to, you know, that we just use when we're car camping now. And so, yeah, I mean, we're able to pack enough camping stuff for five people and, you know, check it on the plane and take it with us so that we can go pretty much anywhere, you know, in the country that we want to go see.
Yeah, that's great. You know, it was kind of ironic that I reached out to you a few years back, and I can't even remember why, but I guess I discovered you guys were about to head to South Dakota, and we were both going there within 2 weeks of each other. I was headed to the Badlands and the Black Hills, and I think you were headed to the same areas. I mean, you have any comments about that area? Because I've said this on previous podcasts, but it blew me away.
Oh, yeah. When I started researching that for a trip, I had always kind of thought of like the Badlands as sort of a little side trip if you went to Yellowstone or something. And then once I started looking at South Dakota and North Dakota, I couldn't believe how many places there were to see and different things and, you know, the different landscapes. And like our kids they're really into doing the Junior Ranger badges at the national parks.
Okay. You know,
they fill out the little book and they get a little pin. And so, I mean, I don't know how many Junior Ranger badges they got on that trip when we went through South Dakota. And then we went up to Teddy Roosevelt National Park in North Dakota.
Yeah. But
it had to be like 8 to 10 Junior Ranger badges they earned at all these different places. But yeah, I mean, just the variety of places to go and things to see and caves and the Badlands and, you know, all of it and the Black Hills. I was really stunned at how much there was to see there.
Yeah, me too. And I'm curious to ask you, Susan, the North Dakota Badlands versus the South Dakota, very different. Can you, compare the two and tell me what you like better?
That's a question. I mean, like the South Dakota Badlands, it's so kind of, it's not desolate. That's not the word I'm looking for, but you know, it's just has this kind of harshness to it. The kids loved it. I mean, they loved scrambling all over the place in the Badlands. I mean, we could just stop the car and they could just climb up over stuff and they were super entertained. Whereas like in North Dakota, it seemed to have more life. Cause there were all these bison all over the place. And then there were some wild horses in there and you're right. They were very different.
We saw the same, right? My take on the North Dakota Badlands was they were just greener. There was definitely a lot more green. There was a lot more animals. Maybe it's not as hot. I don't know. But they're both very cool. They're just very different. And you wouldn't think that. People talk Badlands. They don't say North Dakota versus South Dakota, but they're two totally different Badlands. Would you agree?
Yes. Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, I think you're cheating yourself if you go to one and not the other because they're not comparable. They're similar but yet very different.
Right, yeah, and both absolutely worth seeing.
I totally agree with that statement. And then the ultimate is the Wall Drug. So you see, I don't know if you guys have seen stickers over the years for Wall Drug, but did you guys stop at Wall Drug, by the way? Do you want to talk about Wall Drug and the whole experience?
Well, you have to stop at Wall Drug.
Yeah, agreed. Did you buy the sticker? That's a better question.
No, we didn't. But it was a rather overwhelming experience, I think, after, being hiking and camping and all that. I found it a bit crowded and tough to keep up with the kids and all that. I'm interested in your thoughts, though. But, it was an oasis of a different sort.
your kids had to have loved Wall Drug.
Definitely. I mean, I think plenty of ice cream to be had there for sure.
Yeah, that and everything else. You did not get the sticker? I can't believe you didn't get the sticker.
Well, next time, I guess.
You talk about the best marketing job I've ever seen for a drugstore on the planet. That has to be it. So I understand you guys have another trip planned out west this year. You guys want to tell us about it?
Well, Glenn's going to do a bike trip at the beginning, off with his friends and leave us here.
You're invited. You're invited.
He's paying for that one.
You're invited.
But yeah, so there, I don't even know where you're going, like in Yellowstone and around that. Anyway, And then when he gets to the end of the bike trip, it's when our kids have fall break. So we're going to meet him out there in West Yellowstone and then, you know, spend a week seeing Yellowstone and Grand Teton. And hopefully, if the weather is okay, and if we can get a permit, I'd like to attempt some backpacking with the kids in the Tetons.
Oh, that'd be awesome. You know, you can do some very short, and I'll be happy to, you know, off mic, give you a couple suggestions. But there's a couple very short trips you could do. Hike a few miles into some lakes. Great fishing. Really pretty at the base of the Tetons. I love the Tetons. I think they're awesome. So happy to share that with you if you're interested.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned fishing. The kids love fishing, so they'd be all over that.
Yeah, big trout, and we actually had a moose essentially almost walk right into us in our campsite. So very interesting. But Glenn, I'm curious to go back to you because you and I spent some time in Yellowstone. Do you want to recount that trip at all?
Oh, that was a great trip. I still think about that. We went with the Sheik came along with us.
Yeah, the Sheik.
I remember. And we went to Heart Lake, I guess. We did a nice big loop. And that was probably one of the first, like, out west backpacking trips I had ever done. I just remember the scenery just being outstanding and, you know, just camping with just great views. And, I mean, that was fantastic. So.
Yeah, we had moose roll into our campsite at night, which we have great pictures of, and I had a huge trout on that was so big I didn't have a net. I just had to reel it as fast as I could to the shore and try to just rip it out of the water. I eventually threw it back. But and then you remember the little hot tub that we tried to hit that was like a natural thermal hot tub that, you know, people were visiting right near our campsite. Do you remember that, Glenn?
I'm trying to think if I do. You have to refresh my memory on that, but no.
Well, we turned around because some of the people that had just gotten in it had gotten parasites on them. You remember that? Like, we were walking up there to get in it, and they're like, oh, man, we had these little red parasites all over us. You don't remember that?
No, and I really don't. What I do remember is you gave some good tips on how to hitchhike.
Oh yeah, we did do some hitchhiking there. That's right.
You said okay, you need a good spot, you need to pick a spot where they have a spot to be able to pull off and you know, pick you up, and you have to stop, look them in the eye, you know, as they drive by and all that. So tips that we took moving forward from you for
yeah.
Sure.
Well, so you guys are still doing a little hitching, huh?
Well, no. Back in the day we did. We definitely did. I remember a hike in Vermont where we did actually some of the long trail in Vermont, and we had to hitch a ride, and it was a little dicey at one point because it was getting dark, and it turned out that actually the one lady who picked us up said, yeah, there was some bad stuff happened here with a hitchhiker not too long ago.
So. Oh, really? Okay.
So we were fortunate to get picked up.
Yeah, you know, the national parks are tougher too because you have a lot of tourists, and the tourists normally are not the ones that will pick up a hitchhiker. It's usually the locals that are used to backpackers and that sort of thing. So, but anyway, so you guys are doing more with your kids now, which I think is awesome. I mean, I think we all have. Our lives have changed. Do you have any recommendations for taking a kid out the first time? Because you've been dealing with it, not just backpacking, but also camping. Any suggestions?
Well, one thing that we sort of learned through experience when we were, you know, car camping in sort of national park campgrounds when the kids were small, you know, they were early risers. And very loud in the morning. And so what we figured out made our lives so much better was as soon as they woke up, we just threw them in the car, handed them granola bars or something to eat for breakfast, and we would just drive to a nearby trailhead, and then we would just go on a hike at like 6:30 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And that actually turned out really well because first of all, then we weren't spending an hour like shushing them and annoying all of our neighbors in the campground. But also, I mean, we went on some incredible hikes, and we were literally the only people on this trail. Like, you know, and we would go to like a grove of redwoods in Redwood National Park that I'm pretty sure that trail is probably mobbed, you know, all day, but we had the whole place to ourselves. The kids were just climbing all over the redwoods and having a grand time. And we've gone on a number of hikes like that. And it turns out that that's just, it's a lot more relaxing. And I mean, like, they hiked in their pajamas. I mean, we didn't even bother.
Awesome.
Like, just get them out of here, you know. But then we, you know, then we could go and hike. And by the time we were done hiking, we'd go back to the campground. And then everybody else was awake. And then it didn't matter that they were being noisy. And then they could get dressed. And but that was one of the things that we kind of figured out early on when we were taking them camping.
Yeah, that's a great trail tip. I like that one. What about on the other side of that? Mistakes that parents might make, you know, taking their kids out for the first time?
I'm not sure about, we can say what mistakes. I mean, I just think of things that might work for us, tips, you know, bring plenty of snacks, you know, make it fun for them, you know, like Doe Girl, Susan, as far as her trail name, you know, she makes these camping eclairs where you take and actually, Susan, you were surprised you did this in Girl Scouts. And Steve, I don't know if you knew what these were the first time we went camping with you, but you take a dowel and you take a biscuit dough and you kind of brown it over the campfire and you fill it with some pudding and put some chocolate fudge topping on it and you got a little camping eclair there, you know. But you know, just little have plenty of food for hiking on the trail because the kids get hungry, and you know, if there's a little something at the end for them too, helps cure a lot of ills along the way for sure.
Yeah, you got to give them a reward. I agree. And I have had the Doughboys/Doughgirl, and they are fantastic. So I'll give you big ups on that that invention, whoever came up with it, and certainly you passed it on to me. Did the two of you guys meet on a backpacking trip or hiking trip?
No, we didn't, although, I mean, we got into backpacking sort of together and camping. It was sort of something maybe we both had interest in, and sort of, you know, neither of us had any gear, you know, or anything back in the day, and kind of learned and went on the adventures together. So that's how that all worked out.
Do you guys want to share the love story? I don't even know if I know. I don't know how you met, to be honest.
A mutual friend introduced us.
Yeah,
basically,
yeah, a girl I worked with. Yeah,
New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Awesome. When was the last time that you guys took a trip together, just the two of you, no children, sans kids?
Yeah. Well, that would have been before we had kids, so that might have been that Isle Royale hike.
Yeah, I think that.
Yeah,
really
that's probably
one.
It. You know, when you have one maybe, but when you have three, there's not too many people signing up to look after them for a weekend so you could go hiking. So
so the grandparents haven't really stepped in and like taken the kids just for a weekend so you could go hiking, huh?
Definitely not.
Unfortunately not.
Okay. Oh, well, that's fair. I mean, I don't think your folks are in Atlanta, though. Is that correct?
No, it's just her mom. She's up in Richmond now. So, no relatives nearby to make that easy,
yeah,
for sure.
That makes it tough, for sure, for sure. I mean, what about, like, trips you guys have done together? You want to talk about, like, one of your favorites? And tell us when it was, too, because it's obviously, well, you know, you could have a great trip with your kids. So that's a great question. Your favorite trip, just the two of you, and your favorite trip with the family?
Well, I mean, the John Muir, that was like trip of a lifetime kind of thing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I would do it again, you know, if I had the time and somebody said, okay, Susan, just here, take 2 or 3 weeks, go out and hike, I would totally do it again.
I would do it again. I would even hike Bear Ridge again, yes. But,
yeah. And Alaska was also a really good trip.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, now where was Alaska? Where'd you guys go?
We did the Chilkoot Trail.
Oh, love the Chilkoot.
Yeah,
awesome.
That was really fun. And that's when we got engaged the Chilkoot Trail.
Oh, there it is. That's got to be the one.
It's something about the love story. So there's.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then we flew from Juneau up to Anchorage and went to Denali and down to the Kenai Peninsula, and that was a really good trip.
Probably hit Seward and Homer in that area.
Yeah.
Oh man, that is the Alaskan package right there.
It's and Susan has a bit of a hiking list. You know, she's planning ahead, you know, and Alaska is on there, you know, of trips we want and need to do with the kids, you know, because you only have before they leave the house. I mean, there are only so many years. So, but getting back to Alaska is definitely, definitely one of them for sure.
Yeah, it's a great place. I mean, you know, honestly, and it's funny that we're talking about this because I have not been to Alaska, and I went 3 years and probably maybe 5-6 year span, but I haven't been since I got married. So I'd love to get back there for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's we're lucky as Americans to have Alaska as one of our states for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, over 10 years, I'm kind of curious because when we've hiked, the gears changed a lot. Is there any gear that you couldn't live without maybe 10 years ago that you feel differently today, and any gear that you treasure today that didn't exist 10 years ago?
Well, one thing back when we backpacked a lot, we just had our 3/4 length thermarests.
No, just and not enough, is it?
No, we have now we have advanced to having, well, I think at some point, even when we were still backpacking, we were like, you know what, we need the full length. So we got the full length thermarest, and then like in the last couple years for Christmas, we've each given each other like the big fat ones, you know, for car camping. But actually the 3/4 length ones, those are perfect for our boys. So
there you go. Hand-me-downs.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I don't feel so bad with a giant, you know, with a pile of like 7 or 8 different thermarests that we have since the kids use them. And
But you mentioned, you know, what's different now than back, I guess, Steve, when we were doing a lot of hiking with you, though. I remember sitting around campfires and have many a thermarest popping because of, you know, the campfire, and you had the thermarest kind of put into a chair, you know, the little and all of that. So you have those ultralight chairs now, which are very nice to bring with you. Yeah, at least car camping, you know, at very least. So that's certainly something new that we appreciate. And I think what other things can't we live without? Maybe a pillow.
Yeah. You know, did you guys ever carry pillows 10, 20 years ago? It never even occurred to me to carry a pillow.
No, I don't think I ever brought one. I mean, when we did the John Muir Trail, my plan was that I would use my down jacket as my pillow, but then I was so cold because my sleeping bag was not warm enough for me that I slept in my down jacket every night. So I would sleep on like my dirty pants or something. And yeah, that does not cut it anymore.
No, I used to just, you know, stuff my clothes into a stuff sack and sleep on that with maybe a fleece around it. But these new pillows are super lightweight. They're pretty compact. I mean, you guys, I guess, have one of those now, huh?
Yeah, we do. But Steve, I'm actually curious to hear your answer to that question about gear and improvements and what you appreciate or have to have now.
You know, there's two things that come to mind quickly, and I mean, we could probably talk about this for 30 minutes, but the two that just jump in my mind is the, you know, the pocket rocket, right? The little stove that you just screw onto a gas canister. I mean, it's so easy. It's so lightweight. That to me is a game changer. Another is is the chair. You guys had kind of mentioned it. You know, what is it? The Helinox Zero. It doesn't weigh much at all. They're so much more comfortable and easier to use than the kind of old thermarest system where you would jam the thermarest in the sleeve, right? And then, you know, expose it to potential fire damage. That, man, that's huge too. But everything's gotten lighter. I think that's been a big change. Mm-hmm. All great, great additions to the world we live in today, no doubt. Let's flash forward. So what's on your wish list next 5 years for kid trips, you trips? Wait, your oldest is how old now?
She's 11.
She's 11. So you got some years. So you're not venturing out for yourself for a little bit, but what's on your short list?
Well, I have a whole spreadsheet where I kind of have plotted out how to get to most of the national parks over the next few years. And so I mean, one trip that we might try to do next year is sort of the Florida national parks, you know, going down to Everglades and Biscayne. And then what I really want to do is Dry Tortugas. Have you been to that one?
I have not, but you're talking kayaking here, right?
No, we would just take the little ferry boat and drop us off.
Oh, and do some camping. I got you. Okay, I wasn't sure if you were doing like the kayaking backcountry campsites or what was the thought there?
I would like to try that, but we have not managed to do that yet. Like, you know, canoe camping or anything like that. I'd like to try that sometime with the kids. I think they would like it.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's takes even more planning than I think I can handle at this point.
Well, you're also throwing the element of the ocean currents in there, right? Like if you do a Cumberland Island, Georgia, or any of those kind of trips. But, hey, refresh my memory on the Dry Tortugas. So wasn't there a lot of historical significance to those islands?
Yeah, there's like it's like a fort. And I can't remember the time period. I think it was like Civil War era-ish time. And, yeah, it's a fort, and there's a ferry that takes you from Key West out there. And then, there's like not really much there except the fort. And then there's a little bit of island, and then you can camp on the island, and there's, you know, nobody there, but like the rangers at night and the other campers. And you're just like, yeah, just stuck out there in the Gulf of Mexico. And you can snorkel around there. And I mean, it looks really, really cool. And then, you know, of course, you're in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, there's nothing there. And so, you know, the sky is obviously super, you know, dark sky place. And, you know, you can see the stars, and it just seems like a cool thing to do that, is a little bit different, you know?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the place that you guys told me about that I knew very well. And now I'm drawing a blank. It's a national park right on the border of Mexico and Texas that has an insanely beautiful sky. What is the national park? You guys went there. You were the ones that were selling it to me.
Yeah, Big Bend.
Big Bend, that's right. Yeah, you want to talk about that experience? Because I think you were the ones talking about the how beautiful the sky was there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a great park. And we did a, this was, again, pre-kids. But, yeah, we did a nice little backpacking loop. Like Big Bend is one of those parks. It's like a combination of the Grand Canyon and Death Valley, and then I don't know, some sort of mountainous park, because like there are mountains, there's desert, there's the Rio Grande, which is not particularly big through there, but there's a lot of different landscapes all combined into that one park. And I mean that's one that we need to take the kids to. I have that. That's also on my spreadsheet.
it sounds like Susan's got an extensive spreadsheet.
She does. And actually, what we do on all these national parks, anytime we could get a photo in front of a national park sign, you know, we add that to our collection. So if it's just us traveling or now with the kids, we've got dozens and dozens of photos. But on that trip, I was not, it might have been one of, for whatever reason, I wasn't entirely sold on this idea of stopping and, you know, being a tourist in front of the sign. And so we did not stop in front of the Big Bend National Park sign. And I think I'll own up to it. That was my bad. And
now we have to go back.
We have to go back and get that photo. So,
do you have an issue with Clark Griswold is my question.
I love that movie. You know, that's good stuff.
Hey, do you guys have a favorite national park, though? Because you've obviously hit a bunch of them. I'm sure the listeners would love to hear, you know, maybe give us your top three. And you know what? I think we should have both of you comment on that, because you may not agree.
Well, I mean, Glacier. It's hard to beat Glacier. Because that, just the views there, scenery, all of it. And then, of course, you know, the bears, that adds an element of excitement to have grizzly bears there. So yeah, Glacier is a big one. Now Glenn, you can name
God,
one.
No, I can't.
How can you not name one?
Well, I could pick one. Sand dunes.
Are you talking about White Sands?
Yeah.
No, the Great Sand Dunes in Colorado.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Well, that was, it was interesting. You know, you could, you're on the dunes there, and the kids riding the surfing the sand there. It was pretty cool.
So. I can't believe you guys aren't busting out Yellowstone though. I'll give you my my personal top three. I would say, oh man, Glacier. I agree. Glacier's amazing. I mean, you got to get it while you can. Those glaciers are melting. Denali blew me away. And third, I don't know. Yellowstone's really cool. All those thermal features.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give me more than just one each. Come on. What else you got?
Let's see. Well, I mean, there's Yosemite. You know, that's another obvious choice. And I mean, I would agree Denali also. I mean, because that was, you know, and we were there with a couple of friends. We didn't backpack at all. We just camped in the campground there. But yeah, I mean, taking that bus, you know, up the park road, I mean, it's basically like going on a safari. You know, you just sit there, and I mean, we saw so many grizzlies and we saw wolves and caribou, and I mean, it just really amazing, the animals out there, and just kind of the tundra and all of that. That was, so yeah, I mean, I think I'd have to include Denali in my list.
Glenn, I'm waiting for you. You got to give me more than some sand dunes.
Well, I mean, I said we did that Wonderland Trail, you know, Mount Rainier.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. That is awesome. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
All day long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Isle Royale that you guys mentioned earlier is really cool, and it's not that, you know, well known for some port.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, I honestly don't know that I've ever been disappointed by any national park site. You know, anywhere we're going on a trip, you know, I always, like, consult the National Park Service website to see if any, you know, not just national parks, but any, you know, national monuments or national historic sites or any of the, you know, anything that they manage, if there's, you know, if it's within an hour of anywhere we're going to be. I'm like, okay, we got a detour. We got to go check this out. And really, I mean, I don't know that I've ever been disappointed stopping at one of those. I've never thought this was a waste of time. So,
yeah, we've been blessed for sure to have the parks we do. So it's been 10 years. I'm just kind of curious. Any takeaways? Like how your life has changed? Any suggestions to listeners? I mean, it's 20 years since we spent a ton of time hiking together. I guess just any final thoughts? Raising kids, getting out?
I'll speak
that's
for...
That's a tough one. I'll give you that.
Yeah, that's a far-ranging question there, but I'll talk for Susan here. She could maybe chime in and say just, you know, as far as ability to get out and do these trips, that she puts a lot of planning, advanced planning into it. So, you know, it's great to be kind of spontaneous and get out and, you know, where we get, you know, pick something spur of the moment, but, you know, to really get some of these campsites or ferries or what have you. I mean, really you need to be, I know a lot of these reservations open 6 months in advance and you need to kind of be on top of that. And Susan puts a lot of research into, hey, what's the best campsite to Susan, you could talk more about that, you know, to really get these trips set up.
Well, yeah, like that's fun for me to just sit there and try to figure out, you know, where we're going to camp and which is the best campsite in the whole campground and that kind of thing. Although I would say, like, with kids, we did have to kind of switch our mindset, because I think when we were sort of doing more long distance backpacking, we were kind of a lot more goal oriented, you know, and you'd feel very satisfied, you know, hey, we did 14 miles today or whatever. Whereas with kids, it's just different. You know, you really have to shift your focus, and be, you know, definitely plan ahead so that you have somewhere to camp, because it's not fun, you know, driving around when it's getting dark, trying to find somewhere to camp, or worse, trying to find something to eat. But, you know, with kids, you just kind of have to roll with what they're up for. You know, sometimes they're up for a good hike, and sometimes you walk 15 feet and then they find a pile of sticks and they just want to sit there and play with those. So, you know, it's just kind of, you shift your focus a little bit. But then you sort of see things from their perspective and through their eyes. And so it's kind of, you know, just a different way to look at things. So.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, kids definitely, they change everything. I think the other message is it's out there. Go get it, right? I mean, you know, what are you waiting for? I mean, we've got all these parks and you only got so much time. So I give you guys big credit for keeping it going because not all the people I know that I backpacked with over time have done it. So kudos to you. Thank you guys for being back on the show. I can't believe it's been 10 years. Are you guys surprised this podcast is still going 10 years later?
I'm impressed. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I had any expectations when I started doing it. So, but it still is, and we're overdue for a trip. I got to say that.
With it, you know, we'll get out with you, Steve, and we'll get another adventure going here that we'll maybe talk to you about in a future podcast.
Yeah, sounds great, man. Awesome. Well, thanks for being on the show tonight.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You've been listening to the N2 Backpacking Podcast. This is your host, Bird Shooter, wishing you the best for your travels on the trail. To subscribe to the show, visit iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, or your favorite podcast app. And give us a thumbs up or a positive comment while you're there. You can also stream shows directly from n2backpacking.com. Just click the podcast tab on the main menu. Music from the show was provided by Jerris under a Creative Commons license and is titled Hillbilly Anarchy. The show is a production of N2 Backpacking and is copyrighted by N2 Ventures, Inc. For more information on this podcast or to provide feedback or comments on this or future shows, please visit us at n2backpacking.com. That's the letter N, the number 2, backpacking.com.